is WGNS Action Line. Action Line. Talking with Rutherford County Newsmakers. Talking with Rutherford County Newsmakers.
Makers.
Talking with Rutherford County Newsmakers about what matters most to you.
Since 1947.
WGNS Action Line.
Now your host,
Scott Walker.
This morning we're talking with David Coggin with Barnabas Vision, and Barnabas has been busy lately. So David, kind of bring us up to date on everything that's been happening.
Well, good morning, Scott. Good to be here. Yeah, a lot has gone on during the summer with Barnabas Vision. We've helped get people into homes. We've helped keep people in their homes, and we've been able to have some great classes. We've had a lot of summer activities with our Servant Heart projects, where children and their parents went out each Tuesday and did a different service project. And we've also had some family nights that have been keeping us busy that we do once a month. And so lots of activity at Barnabas Vision.
Let's pick one of the projects that you guys did out in town. Tell us about it and what all went into it.
Well, one project was at Rutherford Point, and we've done several activities out there, but we went out there. We played games with the kids. We had a short lesson in crafts with them. It was part of our Camp Inspire that week. They had a good time sort of bonding with the kids and everything. And then after that, we had a couple of people that went there weekly and did activities there every Thursday morning. And we also did backpacks there.
So when you do projects at different locations, like Rutherford Point as an example, is that like an apartment complex? Is it a housing community? What is it?
It's an apartment complex in Laverne.
And so when you do projects out there, how many kids do you usually see who come and participate?
Probably around 15 to 20.
And I'm guessing a lot of these are coming from households where it's a single parent, and they're probably already struggling to make ends meet.
Yes, that's correct.
The projects that you do, you raise money through Barnabas Vision and different events that you hold. Is that what goes into paying for different projects like that one at Rutherford Point and the backpacks as well?
Yeah, donation goes to help pay for projects like that, also for the backpacks. Then also we help keep people in the apartments, or we help people get into apartments as well.
You know, that's really cool. You help people stay at the apartment. So if they're already at an address, if they already have a place to live, to call home, something goes wrong, they lose their job, they're looking for another job, you're able to step in and help them out throughout that process so they don't become homeless.
Yes.
How long have y'all been doing that now?
Barnabas Vision has been around for 14 years, and we probably have been doing a part of that since the beginning. But what was probably 14 years ago, 5% of my job is now, there's 8 people on staff, several part-time, and it's probably about 3 or 4 to help keep people in their homes. And we try to build relationships with them as well.
Now, you brought some of those people with you this morning.
I brought Chrislyn Ledbetter, who's our development director at Barnabas Vision.
And Chrislyn's been on a couple of times before.
Yes.
Who else did you bring?
Ainsley Ledbetter.
So starting with Chrislyn, talk a little bit about your role in projects like the one David was talking about, where you guys went to Rutherford Point.
My role as the director of development is to make sure that we have enough funds to complete projects such as Rutherford Point. To do that, we actually have a fall event coming up this October. It'll be October 23rd. It's called Pause to Praise, and it will be a lunchtime event that will be praising God for the amazing work that he's done through Barnabas Vision. And all proceeds will go to those in need in Rutherford County.
I want to go back just for a second and talk about how one of the focuses is to keep people off the streets, to keep them in their apartment, in their house, wherever it is they may live, so they don't become homeless. And that's huge because I know we have a lot of nonprofits, but I don't know of many nonprofits in town that have that focus of keeping people in their place of residence, to keep people off the street.
Absolutely. It is much more cost effective to keep people in their homes rather than trying to figure out a solution once they're already homeless.
If they're about to be kicked out, let's first figure out a solution of what we can do to go in and maybe stop that from happening. How does it feel to be a part of making that happen?
It feels great. It feels really encouraging when we're able to create relationships with our clients and we're able to give them hope in a situation that they didn't believe there was any hope. It feels great to be part of a solution that gets to the problem before it's too bad.
Have you been in one of those situations where you have played a role in, we'll just make up a name, Jane Doe and her kids? Have you been a part of a process where you helped Jane Doe and her children stay where they are and they didn't get kicked out because they were late on paying rent?
With my specific job, our social workers are more in the day-to-day of dealing with those and talking with them through those situations. However, I have been able to not only be part of those conversations, but also find solutions through talking to donors or through talking to community partners that are able to help them. So I have seen many families be able to stay in their homes at the Barnabas Vision.
I mean, it'd be tough, I would think, not to cry at times. I mean, just
absolutely.
Watching, first of all, the happiness of saying Jane Doe, as we were mm-hmm. saying, she's fighting back tears
yeah.
with joy, excitement, and just being so thankful that, hey, these guys came along and they helped me. They helped me so that my kids and I can continue yeah. to have a place to live. Mm-hmm. What's that like being there?
Our clients are just like me and you. They look just like us. They have kids just like us. They have just run into a really difficult time. Most of our clients are facing a health crisis or something terrible has gone on, such as you said, they lose their job. That could happen to any one of us. And so it's very eye-opening. It's a perspective shift for all of us in the office that deal with this because we could be in their shoes at any point.
How hard is it to have a perspective shift, as you called it? Because if you're explaining to somebody, so-and-so is about to lose their house, and here's what we're going to do, here's what we're going to do to prevent that from happening, it's a lot to take in. And I think most people, when they hear stuff like that, they just think, you know, they were probably using money for something else like drugs or alcohol. And you on the inside know, well, that's not the case. You know, this is not what's happening here at all.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you go about telling somebody, the average Joe, how do you tell them, no, all these people aren't using drugs. All these people aren't drinking every day. They're not
right.
drinking their money away. That's not what's happening.
Yeah, that's a great question. That's really the essence of my job, is to communicate how we are meant to stand beside those in crisis in our community. They are not always the stereotype of what you think a homeless person is doing with their money. They're not always the stereotype of what you think an irresponsible person is doing with their funds. It's ultimately, like I said, one step away for each of us. And so my job is to communicate that these people deserve empathy just like you and I do. And ultimately, we're able to help them if we're able to communicate that need effectively.
In explaining to somebody else about the life of another person who, from the outside, you're coming to all these conclusions as to why they were not able to pay their rent. And I think that's natural. Our brain naturally goes to these negative thoughts or places. And so we have to learn to kind of reshape our thought process. And one of the most powerful examples of that is the story that the late Dr. Stephen Covey used to use at some of the speeches he would give. And he wrote about it in his book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And in an example of what he said we all need, and that's a paradigm shift in our way of thinking, was a story of a man who got onto a subway car in New York with his kids. And the context in which he used his story to explain a paradigm shift in our way of thinking is one called The Man on the Subway.
Interpreting the world around us, a world that is in the midst of change with new information coming at us 100 miles an hour every minute, every second of the day. And Dr. Stephen Covey explains how a man is sitting on a subway car in New York on a Sunday morning. He's sitting there observing others, and then all of a sudden at the next stop, a man boards the subway with his children. Those kids are loud and disruptive. They're yelling, grabbing papers off the floor, throwing them about, bothering other passengers. The father who got onto the subway with the kids, you can see him wander towards one of the seats, sits down, His eyes close for a few minutes, as if he has no idea of the chaos his kids are causing for these other riders. So the man sitting there, who's growing more and more irritable by watching how this father's not addressing the kids who are being so rambunctious, says, "Sir, your children are really disturbing a lot of people in this car," talking about the subway car. "I wonder if you couldn't control them a little bit more." The father slowly looks up, turns his head to the left. He says to the observer, "Oh, you're right. You know, I guess I should do something about it. We just came from the hospital where their mother died about an hour ago. I don't know what to think. And I guess they don't know how to handle it either." And that rider on the subway car who sat there observed all this growing in anger as he watched it all, suddenly had a paradigm shift. A paradigm shift in the way he processed the entire episode from start to finish. And that shift is suddenly this new picture that's painted for him, a new reality. Instantly, that man's perception, who is sitting there observing these rambunctious kids, while the father sat there with his eyes closed and did nothing about it, feels the irritation that he was feeling before totally vanish. It's then replaced by sympathy and compassion. The children's behavior suddenly made sense to him, along with the father's behavior. So that behavior of the kids that was seen as a nuisance to this writer is now understood. Understood as an expression of profound grief. The father, once looked at as neglectful, well, the writer now sees he's a man in shock. He's reeling from the loss of his wife. He doesn't know what to do, how to react, what to say, nor does he know how to control the kids through all this, because the kids themselves don't know how to act or react. They're dealing with something they haven't quite grasped yet. They just lost their mom. Dr. Stephen Covey then explains the lesson of this story is the fact that that subway car and what occurred inside the subway car when the father and his kids got onto that car was that it drew the perfect picture of a paradigm shift. A paradigm shift in the way he processed the entire episode. And if we're able to change that model within our mind of how we think and how we interpret things, then we're going to live a different life, because we're going to be able to better understand those around us. And even if we don't understand the problems they may be going through, we are instead understanding that what we see on the outside are just things to mask what's going on the inside. Dr. Covey says we should have more of an inside-out approach by explaining, and I quote, "We think we see the world as it is, when in fact we see the world as we are. Personal experiences, assumptions, and biases filter the reality of that around us. True change requires looking through a different lens, and that's hard to do unless we're able to remind ourselves daily that what we see happening on the outside around us is just one very small part of the picture that's simply showing its symptoms of something else going on." Kind of like how a sore throat is a symptom of tonsillitis. The behavior of those around us are symptoms of something else going on, something deeper happening. And then with that thought in place, actually walk over, sit down next to the man whose head's down and his kids are out of control, and just ask with empathy, "Is everything okay?" And then that stranger will tell you, "No, I just don't know what to do."
And again, we're talking about Barnabas Vision, and Chris Lynn is here with us today. As Christians, we're not supposed to go out there and gossip about our neighbors. Mm-hmm. We're not supposed to be talking bad about other people, but I think it happens so often. It's almost ingrained in us, and we don't even think twice mm-hmm. before saying something bad about another person. And that's not really where we should be. So how do you go day to day with just staying positive and talking about the positive things, even if you're talking to somebody who's saying to you, "Hey, look, I want to be a part of this and I want to donate $100, but I don't want my money to go towards buying somebody alcohol or buying somebody drugs." What do you say to that?
Yeah, it can be difficult because, of course, we can't guarantee exactly how the client will use specific funds. And that's why we directly work with landlords and other utility companies to make sure we're not just giving them a handout, we're not just giving them $100. That money is going towards exactly what we intend for it to go towards. So that really gives our donors a peace of mind. And it also creates some positivity because the client doesn't have to go through the turmoil of deciding, what am I going to spend this money on? We have already decided for them.
Because you're giving those funds directly to the landlord, the management company, the homeowner who is renting out to this person. Because Barnabas is giving that money directly to them. That also, and I don't know if you've thought about this, but that also kind of saves face for that person who's renting.
Yeah.
It takes them out of what for them is probably a really embarrassing situation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's got to help them too.
Absolutely.
Talk a little bit more about how people who are listening, how they could donate to Barnabas Vision.
So any donation that you make will go towards someone in need in Rutherford County. And we have multiple programs, so sometimes it can be confusing when you think, okay, well, how is my $10 going to help someone pay rent? Your $10 could help someone get enough gas in their car to escape a domestic abuse situation. Your $20 could help a child get a backpack full of school supplies. Your $30 could help someone pay the electric bill for that month. Anything can help. And so I encourage you to go to our website. We have a donate page and we also have event pages so that you can get involved in whatever ways that you want.
You know, during the whole COVID pandemic, we saw a rise in domestic violence. And the problem is we didn't see necessarily a rise in domestic violence reports being filed with the police department. Instead, we realized later, after COVID started to calm down a little bit, these things were happening more and more, but because people were living with that abuser, they weren't able to reach out to police like they were when, let's say, somebody's husband went to work and that's when they called the police or whatever the case is.
Mm-hmm.
But it was after the pandemic that we started noticing, well, there was a rise in domestic violence, in child abuse. There was a rise in all of these things. We just didn't realize it at the time. But now we're realizing it because people are filing reports saying this has been going on or it got worse at the start of the COVID pandemic because my husband, my wife, whatever the case is, was at home 24/7 with me. So are we still seeing the aftermath of that, or are you still seeing the aftermath of that while working with people through Barnabas?
Personally, I think yes. Most of our clients are single parent households and they are coming to us with more than one problem. We may be able to find a solution to their rent or utility needs. However, they are always coming to us with other issues that they would like to talk about, which is why I think our ministry guidance is so important at the Barnabas Vision. All of our clients are able to speak with our social worker or David, who is our minister on staff, and to talk through these things because, as I said, the issue goes much deeper than something just like rent or utilities most of the time.
And Krislyn, how long have you been with Barnabas? And I'm curious, did you go to college with the idea of thinking, I'm going to work for a nonprofit once I graduate?
Actually, I did. I went to a Christian university to pursue a degree in ministry. I just knew that I wanted to do something in ministry, didn't know exactly what that was. Through different internships, I decided that I belong in nonprofits, and that's when I met David and came to the Barnabas Vision. And I've only been at the Barnabas Vision for about 8 months now, and I've already seen incredible work that God has done.
What do you enjoy most about what you do day in and day out?
Being able to see how, when I connect with a donor, they are able to see how they can make a difference. That brings me a lot of happiness, but more than anything, it brings them a lot of happiness because it makes them know that their money is going towards a good purpose. They are making a difference. And even if you're not in the day-to-day, you can still change someone's life.
Stay tuned because we have more to talk about with Barnabas Vision, and we'll continue the conversation in just a minute.
We're at Adam's Place talking with John Hood. John, what do you like most about Adam's Place?
Well, Bart, I guess what I like most is the personal attention that you get the comfort and security and knowing that you're in a very outstanding place.
What made you choose Adams Place?
Well, frankly, I only looked at Adams Place.
I'm Terry Deal. Call me for more information about Adams Place, located at 1927 Memorial Boulevard, across from Walmart.
FM 1019, FM 100.5, WGNSradio.com, the Good Neighbor Network. This is a WGNS Action Line. Action Line. Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers.
Since 1947.
It's how my day begins.
Reporting the news.
It's how this day begins.
This is a WGNS Action Line. Now your host, Scott Walker.
And now we're talking to Ansley Ledbetter with Barnabas Vision. And Ansley, what do you do there?
I work in our community engagement and help with social media. I specialize with volunteer engagement and opportunities, as well as just kind of helping to spread the word about what we do at Barnabas Vision.
So working in that capacity, you're able to sometimes tell the story of Barnabas. Maybe David comes back from helping somebody, or Kristen comes back from helping a family, and they say, here's what happened. How do you go about putting that story with those emotions into words so that others out there can understand more about Barnabas?
That's something that's oftentimes difficult, but also something I love about my job. The only reason why it's difficult is that we can't often share specifics because we don't want somebody to know, like, oh, that post is about me, or oh, that blog article is about me. Or I'm able to just kind of share the, I guess, highlights of that story, of like what they experienced, what they saw, and also working within some of the crisis relief and rental assistance that we do myself, being able to just take like the core of that story or that core of what that person was experiencing and try to share that with others to show kind of like what Chrislyn touched on, like, hey, there's more to this than just needing assistance, or there's more to this than facing eviction.
I think that the underlying problem, I guess we as a society, me included, face is that we often fail to realize there's a lot more going on to the picture that we're looking at. There's a lot more happening than what we think we just saw. And that's really hard to communicate to somebody else, especially if they've never volunteered to help somebody, if they've never stopped to talk to somebody who is living on this street, and they never fully got to understand, okay, well, this person needs this money for, and then fill in the blank. They never tried to understand. I guess they think often when somebody hands somebody else a dollar, oh, I'm doing something good here, and that's all that matters.
Right.
But there is a lot more to that underlying story. And what are some of those underlying problems that you run across when working with people?
Yeah, there's several underlying issues. One of the most common, I think, is these are people that oftentimes have children. And I think there is a certain, like, you don't want to admit that you need help, right? Especially in front of your children. And so I think that they will wait and put off asking for that assistance until sometimes it is too late, or they're already like just making it by, and then their kid gets sick, or they fall and get hurt and are out of work, or the rental company or their landlord raises the rent and they're not ready for that. So it's just like real life experiences that we all experience. Something coming from somebody who rents myself, like, I've had rent go up, but you know, when you're able to plan for that and account for that, it doesn't hit as bad as if you are just getting by. And I think that's something that people don't think about or don't realize, is that oftentimes this could just happen to, like we said, the average Joe, who they just can't get back on their feet as easily as some of the rest of us can.
And of course, if anybody has kids, there's things that pop up every single day with your children.
Definitely.
I mean, from strep throat to illnesses of all kinds, mm-hmm. to the dentist saying, you know, your child needs braces right away, or else their teeth are going to be crooked the rest of their life.
Right.
And that makes you feel bad. And then you're trying to figure out ways of, well, how am I going to pay for these braces? I'm not saying braces is something that people are thinking about if they're already at this level where they're trying to climb their way back up, because I'm sure there's much more important things out there. But I'm only saying that so that some people can possibly relate. But on top of all of those things, you also have some children who are diagnosed with maybe some type of mental illness. Mm-hmm. Maybe they have cancer. I mean, there's just stuff that happens in life where parents who are already struggling, they're faced with this massive obstacle in their way. And that obstacle happens to be and involve their child who mm-hmm. may have just gotten this horrible diagnosis. But that stuff really happens. I mean, somebody who's already living in poverty, they're just told for the first time, your daughter has leukemia. What are you going to do? You know, this is where you have to go next. How do you struggle? How do you deal with stuff like that? Or how do you communicate that to donors out there who are saying, I want to help, I just don't know how?
Sharing those stories with them. And just like we've said before, like these are real situations that happen to everyone. Connecting the humanity of these people we deal with. Like we are all human. We all experience these bad things. And also just like, that's where a big part of our ministry that we do at Barnabas comes in. Like we'll pray with all of our clients. We offer support to them, both financially, but also spiritually and emotionally, talking through them with this and just letting them know that they have somebody there. That is oftentimes something we see a lot. As we mentioned, we serve a lot of single parents. That's always hard when a child is sick or they get sick, even if it's just a cold, and have to stay home from school. That person is then faced with, oh, I either leave my child at home by themselves or I stay home from work. And then sometimes that puts them out of income, or they can lose their job depending on how long they've stepped away, different things like that. That is something we see a lot at the Barnabas Vision.
You know, there are so many good parents out there who I think sometimes the outside world will look at them and judge them, and they'll say, well, if you're a good parent, you'd stay at home with your child and not go in to work those extra hours. Or maybe just the opposite. If you were a good parent, you wouldn't stay home with your child and you'd call a grandmother to come over and you'd go work those extra hours so that you could afford to buy the medicine for your child. In other words, there is literally no win for the outside world to even begin to understand that struggle, or even to begin to understand what they're going through, without realizing, well, that mom can't go call the dad because he's an alcoholic and he used to beat, you know, both her and the child.
Right.
There's all these problems that make every single thing so much more difficult, and they make it all a much bigger problem to try to solve.
Yeah.
And that's hard to really grasp if you've never lived in that situation.
Definitely. It's always like, even I've answered the phones for us several times and have spoken with clients that we're screening to see if they can qualify for applications for assistance and things like that. And that's something I always have to remind myself, is there's, it's a lot deeper than you realize. It's a lot more than just the surface level of, oh, like, I'm short on rent this month because I did blah, blah, blah. It's always remembering, like, there is obviously more to that story, and it's something that I've always wanted to learn more about, is just what else is there that we can get down and dig deep into and figure out like how we can keep this from happening in the future.
I'm guessing it's often like looking at only maybe a quarter of the picture.
Exactly.
You're not able to see the entire painting. You're just able to see that one little corner of the painting.
Mm-hmm.
So you have no clue what else is happening in that world.
Yeah.
We will continue the conversation with Barnabas Vision in just a minute.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Hi, this is Tina Fox at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op. Come see us for all your lawn and garden needs. Also, if you're looking for that great gift idea, please come see us. If you're looking for that perfect outfit or a wedding gift or baby gift, come see us at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op. And if you haven't heard, we also carry the rain chains if you're looking for something to replace your old gutter or put somewhere where you can't put a gutter. Come see us at the Co-op Farm and Home Center, Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off of South Church.
Good morning. Trying to wrap up an accident. It's been out here longer than we thought it would be in Antioch on 24 westbound around Briley Parkway, just adding to that little bit of a slowdown that's coming up through Antioch right now already on 24 westbound. As you approach Briley, 24 eastbound and Pleasant View out there in Robertson County, that's slowing down. Traffic coming in from Clarksville right now. It's got it jammed up pretty good on 24 eastbound around the 27-mile marker. Hey, Prince's Hot Chicken, new items on the menu. Check them out today when you order online at princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Don't throw away old flags. WGNS retires Old Glory with respect. Bring those tattered Bibles here, too. We're more than talk.
We're broadcasting from the Middle Tennessee Electric Studios.
Visit mte.com.
Middle Tennessee Electric.
Serving to make life better.
Since 1936.
This is WGNS Action Line. Now your host, Scott Walker.
This morning we're talking with David Coggin with Barnabas Vision, and that there is an upcoming fundraiser that those in the community, they can be a part of. It's going to be October 23rd on the MTSU campus, right?
That's correct, at 11:30, and we hope you can make it.
They can reserve a table, they can reserve a chair, but to do that, what do? Go to the website?
They can go to the website, barnabasvision.org, or they can call us at 615-556-5134 and ask for Chris Lynn Ledbetter or myself. Anybody would be happy to talk to them, or they can email us.
Okay, so go to barnabasvision.org, and the event that is coming up at MTSU, what is that labeled? What is that called?
Pause to Praise.
You're going to have guest speakers there. You're going to have folks to kind of tell the story of Barnabas and maybe talk a little bit about that daily walk at Barnabas and what y'all do.
Yes, we're going to have a video that's going to show all that and probably someone to speak a little bit, but we're also going to have Caleb and Kelsey. They're a music duet, and they're going to lead us in some time of praise.
Anybody who says, you know, I would like to be a part of Barnabas, I would like to volunteer, I'd like to, you know, help somebody else. Are there positions where they can come in and volunteer and kind of boots on the ground and get out there and literally help some of the people we've been talking about?
Yes, there is. And it's on our website as well as get involved, and it lists several of the opportunities that we have available. If it's going to the nursing homes or helping with our encouragement bag or helping with one of the seasonal or our welcome home kits, there's several volunteer opportunities. But also one of the things Barnabas Vision does is we want to partner with people in the community that might have ideas that lie with our ideas. And if they have ideas, they can contact me or they can contact Ainsley, and we'll try to see if we can do something together.
How often are some of the things, the programs that you guys do, how often are they ideas that started with maybe a phone call from somebody who said, hey, I want to help, I want to get involved?
Well, the one we were talking about earlier, our Servant Heart Project, started 10 years ago from someone stopping me in the church hallway and said, hey, David, I have an idea. I need to do something with my kids during the summer, and I want them to serve. Do you have any ideas? And this was Stephanie McKissick, who sort of helped direct the Servant Heart Project with Barnabas Vision for the last 10 years.
And again, if anybody would like to learn more, just visit Barnabas Vision. Is it barnabasvision.org?
Yeah, thebarnabasvision.org. And we do a lot of different things, but three main categories that we do is we do our crisis relief, we do our homeless prevention, and we do community engagement.
And so make sure you put the, T-H-E, barnabasvision.org in there. And, you know, the work you guys do with homeless, the work you guys do with making sure that somebody does not end up homeless is awesome. I mean, I don't know of many programs in Middle Tennessee or the state of Tennessee, in fact, that focus on actually preventing somebody from becoming homeless. In other words, if they're about to be homeless, they're about to be evicted, there's not that many opportunities out there for somebody to get help. So what you guys do is quite different, I would say, than a lot of other nonprofits in the state.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it. And we also find that it's cheaper to keep somebody in their house than trying to get somebody into house.
Thank you for joining us this morning.
Great to be here.
And again, you can learn more online at thebarnabasvision.org.